So tonight, going to be talking about discernment. I think we can all agree that when we take a look at today's churches, most of the churches, not all, but most of the American church lacks discernment. Either one of two reasons. Either A, they're good churches and they lack discernment because they don't ask. Or B, they lack discernment because they're dead. And they're really, these churches that are dead are usually churches that are really good for nothing but to be trampled under the feet of man. So we're going to deal with discernment tonight because that's what we need here in America. We need discernment among God's people. We need discernment among the churches. But we also need discernment among families. We need discernment in every area and aspect of our nation. Because the way our nation is heading, it's heading in a not so good path. Now, when I was here last, I taught and preached on revival and repentance, and how repentance and revival are very intermingled. You can't have one without the other. But if a person or a church doesn't have discernment, how can they tell if there needs revival or not? Everything that we need because Christ has the answer. No man, no politician. Politicians can promise this and that, but the only way we can turn back, from where we were is Christ. So we need Christ with everything. Christ gives us discernment. Christ gives us everything we need. What he wants us to do is to believe on him, to put our faith and trust in him, and be able to ask him. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door will be open. So if you have your Bibles with you tonight, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we're going to read in verse 14, and then we're going to go all over the place. Again, that was 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. While you guys are turning there, the title of my message is For Spiritual Eyes Only. And as we go through here, you'll realize why I titled the message as such. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, it says, But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Isn't that interesting? It says the Spirit of God. Jesus said that when I leave here, I'll give you a comforter. And that comforter is the Holy Ghost. And we're going to be talking about the Holy Ghost a little bit tonight as well. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, it says, For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. As us believers, we know what the cross stands for. Christ shed his blood, and our sin put Christ on the cross, but praise God, he's not on there anymore. He's not in the grave. He rose.
That's right.
It was because of Christ's sacrifice we know there's power. There's power in his death, but there's even more power in his resurrection.
Amen.
Even more so. And by the way, if Christ was resurrected on the third day, how much more will he resurrect you at the last?
That's right.
Amen. Now, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. This is the natural man. The natural man sees the cross as foolishness. These are people that are either A, religious people like the Pharisees, or B, they're flat out pagans and non-believers, and people who are lost and on their way to hell. These people think that the cross is foolishness. They think the ways of God are foolish. But I'll tell you something. Everything that God has in His Word is wisdom.
Amen.
But the lost can't see that. You know why? Because there is no life within them. If there was life in them, they would have the Spirit of God. But the people who are lost are dead in their trespasses and they cannot see. So as you see, this is why I sort of titled the message "For Spiritual Eyes Only," because the things of the Word of God are spiritually discerned. A non-believer can pick up a Bible and read it, but if he doesn't have the Holy Ghost, it's not going to mean anything to him. And 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32, it says, "And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment." You see, it's really interesting in that passage. Issachar is the only tribe mentioned of the 12 tribes that knew the times. They probably had the most discernment. God gave them discernment. But understand, though, when God gives a person discernment, it's God giving it. We don't get it on our own doing.
That's right.
Without Christ, we can do nothing.
Amen.
So we see that the children of Issachar knew and had an understanding of the times. How much more should God's people have that understanding, especially now? Amen. If you lack it, ask and you shall receive. God gives good gifts to all those who ask Him. We have not because we ask not. And sometimes we ask and we wonder why we're not getting it. Sometimes we ask amiss. And God won't honor that. Sometimes we ask things out of our flesh and God will not honor that. He wants us to have, you know, He wants us to ask out of intentions of glorifying Him, not to please our flesh. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 17, it says, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, 'Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' And they said, 'Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets.' He saith unto him, 'But whom say ye that I am?' And Simon Peter answered and said, 'Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered unto him, 'Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona.'" Here's the important part. "For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." You see, Simon Peter knew who Christ was. He knew who Christ was, but it wasn't of his flesh. You see, God revealed that to him. God gave him that discernment to see who Christ was. You know, discernment is the ability to judge rightly. But to judge rightly, we have to see spiritually. So seeing spiritually has close ties with judging right. If you spiritually can't see, how can you judge? The blind can't lead the blind. See, this is why the lost and dying world cannot see the Word of God for as it is. Because they're dead. And they can't see. They don't have that discernment because they're blind. And sadly, a lot of the churches are like that. But what we see here is that we see a couple things. Jesus said that it was not flesh and blood. So we see that it was God who gave Simon Peter the discernment to see Christ for who He really is. We also see that who is Christ? Christ is the Word of God. He's the Word that became flesh. So you could say that God gave discernment to Peter to discern the Word of God. Then Paul is right in what he said in 2 Corinthians 14, where it says, "Because they are spiritually discerned, You see, if you lack discernment, you ask God, He'll give it freely. Because He gives all good gifts to His kids. Amen. He's not going to withhold any. He's not going to withhold any good thing. But we see that Simon, God gave Simon, God opened Simon's eyes to seeing who Christ is. The question I have is, for those who are lost, will you allow God to open your eyes to see the Word of God for who He is? For God does not desire any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. God does not take pleasure in the death of the wicked. He doesn't. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 50, not 54, Matthew 27, 45 to 49. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Now, isn't that interesting that you have all these scoffers at the foot of the cross? Jesus directly quoted from Psalm 22. And it's actually, as a matter of fact, let's go there. Psalm chapter 22. Psalm 22. In verse 1 it says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? You know, a lot of these people, a lot of these Pharisees and a lot of these scoffers knew the Old Testament very well. And they claimed to know God. But they lacked one thing, and that was discernment. When Christ was paying that price on the cross, when Jesus quoted from Psalm 22, they thought he was crying out for Elijah. That's not what he was doing. See, you can know the Bible well, but if you don't have discernment, you'll miss the target. You see, the Pharisees knew the Old Testament very well, but they missed the target. This is why we need the guidance of the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost will testify of the Word and will bring things into remembrance what Jesus taught us. So, why was Peter able to discern Christ, but the people at the foot of the cross couldn't? Well, I think the answer to that was already given by Christ in the following passage that we just read. It was God the Father. God the Father reveals that. In John chapter 15, verse 26 through 27. It says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. If the Spirit of truth is called the Spirit of truth, what can you expect from the Holy Ghost? Truth. The Holy Ghost will never lie, and He will never speak of Himself. Which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. So you see that the Holy Ghost proceeded from the Father. And when we become born again, He comes in and lives within us. And He testifies to our new man, the Word of God in Christ. And when you read the Word of God, when you study the Word of God, the Holy Ghost will lead you into truth and will show you things that you've never seen before. This is why things are discerned spiritually. Because when you have the Holy Ghost will begin to reveal things to you that you've never thought before in the Word of God. I'm not speaking of extracurricular things that are not in the Bible, you know, things that, you know, all these mega churches, they will say, well, I have a special revelation from God. And they lie through their teeth.
Yeah.
We have a revelation from God. It's called your King James Bible.
That's right.
It's called your Bible. That's the only thing we need.
Amen.
Because in the end, the Word of God is the final authority and should be the final authority in every believer's life.
Right.
And it's this that the Holy Ghost will be, when you read the Word of God, the Holy Ghost will begin to start showing you things. And when He shows you things, it will not be contrary to Scripture. You know why? Because He's called the Spirit of Truth. And therefore, He cannot lie. If your Bible is wrong just once, then we can toss out the whole thing. Because God doesn't lie. The Word of God is perfect and pure and 100% and 100% without error and is 100% truthful. It cannot be wrong, not once. It only takes one little thing, one little lie, to throw out everything. But this Bible is true, amen? And this is what we stick. This is what we're supposed to build our life upon. Now, in 1 John chapter 1 through 2, it says, "In the beginning was the Word." Oh, not 1 John, I'm sorry. I read that wrong. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." So the Word of God was with God even during the creation. And the Word of God is at the right hand. And the Word of God is soon coming. And He's going to come with great power and glory.
Amen.
And we will all those who believe will rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years. In John chapter 1 verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Grace and truth. You see, the law can't save. The law is our schoolmaster pointing us to Christ. The law is good and it's holy, but the law cannot bring you into the promised land. No flesh will be justified by the law, but grace, it's by grace through faith that we are saved. None of ourselves, lest any man should boast. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 6 through 7, "This is He that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." You know, I can't comprehend that. I believe it, but I can't comprehend it. Jesus never said, "You must comprehend this." He didn't say that. He said, "Believe." It is very possible to believe and not comprehend something. And by the way, anyone who tells you they understand God doesn't understand God. Because no one understands God. God is way above our understanding. See, we have such a finite mind. We can only comprehend certain things. God is infinite. He's above time. He's the Most High God. There's things about Him we can't understand. There are things we don't understand. We may not understand till we go home. Will we be content with that? That's the question. Will we be content with that? In Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 13. "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. I don't want to continue beating a dead horse with a stick, but we know that Jesus Christ is the Word of God. If Christ is the Word of God, the Holy Ghost will speak things according to the Word of God and testify to us of the Word of God and will show things from the Word of God.
Amen.
God will never do anything outside His Word. He can't. He just can't. God is holy, He is just, He is righteous, He is merciful, He is loving, He is kind. But God will not do anything outside His Word. That's just who He is. So the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, bears witness to the Word. How much more will He give you discernment when you ask the Lord to? The Holy Ghost will give you that discernment. It is the Holy Ghost that will give you discernment, and without the Holy Ghost, you will have no discernment of the Word of God. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And the Holy Ghost is His Spirit. Without Christ, you can do nothing. Without the Holy Ghost, you can't get discernment. It has to come from God. And I'll tell you what. When God gives you discernment, that comes to show you that everything that we have and can do is because of God. And He left it that way so that He gets all the glory. God will not share His glory with no one. That's His glory. And it will be Him that's glorified and not us. Which we can take great comfort in so that we can humble ourselves. Because that's what we ought to do. We're to deny ourselves and humble ourselves and not get puffed up with pride. It is the proud that God resisteth. Satan had pride in his heart. And you know what happened? He and a third of the angels got kicked out of heaven. And there's a place for them in the lake, eventually in the lake of fire, for them. Hell was meant to be created for the devil and his angels.
Amen.
Not for mankind, but just for the devil and his angels. Unfortunately, there are people who are choosing to go to hell. You know what's even really sad, it breaks my heart. But you have these people that will hold up signs that say, going to hell and proud of it. I'm going to tell you something. I don't think they're going to be very proud when they end up there. Because it's going to be torment, no rest. And it's going to be a lot worse in the lake of fire. Because if you read in Revelation, the smoke of their torment rises up forever. There's no end to their torment. Now, the question is, the next question I want to pose is, why can't the Pharisees discern? In Matthew 16, verse 3, it says, in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? Think about what we mentioned earlier with Issachar. They were able to discern the signs of the times. They had the understanding. They knew what to do. But the Pharisees can't. Oh, they can discern this and that, but they can't discern the times. Luke 12:56. Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that ye do not discern this time? And Matthew 23:27-28. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisies and iniquity. Let me tell you something. Dead men's bones are dead. They're not alive. They're dead. They just stay there. Dead men's bones don't just get up and start walking around like we can. Dead men's bones are dead. They're not alive. The Pharisees can't discern because they don't have the Holy Ghost in them. And if they don't have the Holy Ghost in them, they have no life and they don't have truth. Jesus said, "My word is spirit and my word is life." It's the word of God that brings life. It's the spirit that brings us new life. The Pharisees are dead men's bones on the inside because they have no spirit of God. They're dead. They look nice on the outside, but inwardly they're filthy and unclean. And you know what? Praise God, there was a Pharisee named Saul that he got a hold of. He then became Paul and wrote over 2/3 of the New Testament. And you want to know something? The Apostle Paul was the greatest champion of the faith, along with the apostles. He did some mighty works for God, and he was a Pharisee. You want to know something? God got a hold of him and got him cleaned. And he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen? John chapter 6, verse 63. "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." You see, the Pharisees couldn't discern who Christ was. See, they brag about how they know all the Old Testament laws and how they like to keep them, but yet they dishonor God and disobey God by their traditions. They had no life within them. There was no spirit. There was no life in them. In Ezekiel chapter 37, 9 through 14, it says, "Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live." He will put his spirit in them, and they shall live. It is the Spirit of God that gives us new life. And we see the Pharisees didn't have that. "And I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord." Now think about this. The four winds. How many Gospels are in your Bible? Four. The four winds represent Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus said, My words are spirit and they are life. Your Bible gives you life because your Bible is spirit and life. There is no way to have life but through Christ. Christ gives the Holy Ghost. And Christ gave us his word. Amen. In Romans chapter 8, verse 9 through 11, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you." we see that if people don't have the Spirit of God in them, they're not of Christ. The Pharisees didn't have the Spirit of Christ. They didn't have the Holy Ghost. Therefore, if they didn't have the Holy Ghost, they are not of Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That is what the Pharisees are. And that's what the lost and dying world is. In the lost and dying world, there is a spirit that worketh in them. And that spirit is not of Christ, but it's the spirit of this world. And that spirit that works in those people are the children of disobedience. The Pharisees were children of disobedience. They disobeyed God, bragging and boasting and being puffed up with pride, thinking they were keeping God's commandments when they were not. I think I missed one here. I did. John chapter 8, verse 42 through 44. Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceed forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word." There you go. The Pharisees couldn't understand. They couldn't hear. Because of their sin, their uncleanness, and they had no discernment. If they had discernment, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. But you know what? God kept it away from them so that God's will would be done. So praise God for the sacrifice that Christ made on the cross. If it wasn't for that, we would all be on our way to hell. "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." This is what Jesus said to the Pharisees. He said, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. And you want to know something? All the people that were shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna," when Christ came into Jerusalem riding on a donkey, it was a lot of those same people that were saying, "Crucify him. Bring us out Barabbas, but crucify Christ. Crucify him." You know, that right there is a picture of them choosing the Antichrist over Christ. See, a lot of these religious people think they're Christians, and they're not. And it's going to be those same people that are going to choose the Antichrist over Christ. But you know what the good news is? They still have time to repent. They still have time to repent before it's too late. And believe me, there's coming a time when it's going to be too late. But God is still giving grace. Even in the midst of all this turmoil that we're seeing, God is still giving grace. In Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, I think it's verses 14 through 15. It says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." You know, when we get born again and filled with the Spirit, we've been adopted into God's family. We've been grafted in. And it's through Christ and through what He did and through His righteousness that we can get those blessings. It's not because we deserve it. It's because Christ deserves it because He's perfect. But it's because of our faith and belief on Christ we can get those blessings too. Because we are co-heirs Amen. If you are a child of God and you believe in Christ, you are a child of Abraham. Abraham was blessed not because of what he did, but because of his faith. Amen. It was his faith that was accounted for. The works that he did was a demonstration of his faith. We do works not to get saved. We do works because we are saved. We see that the Pharisees are children of disobedience because they disobey the word of God by their traditions. Last verse and we'll wrap it up. Matthew chapter 15, verse 3 through 9. But he answered and said unto them, "Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother. And he that curseth father or mother, let him die to death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift. But whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your traditions. Ye hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." You know, the Pharisees claim to know God and keep his commandments, but really they are religious hypocrites that reject the word of God and have no discernment because they are their father the devil, and in him is no truth at all. So to kind of wrap everything up, the only way to get discernment is through the word of God. It's through the Holy Ghost, God's Spirit. Without the Holy Ghost, there is no discernment. Without the Holy Ghost and without not being born again, there is no salvation, and you're just as lost as the rest of the world. But you know, the good news is, it is not God's will for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. If you're not saved here today, you can get saved. And you can know for sure that if you die today, you go to heaven. The question is, whoever is not saved will make the choice to come and accept Christ. Amen. But for those who believe, and if you lack discernment, remember, ask God and he'll give to you. Ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door shall be open. Seek and you shall find. Amen. Well, Brother Bill, if you want to come back up.